Okay, well, it will catch up with me in a little bit. And so there's going to be a couple warnings here about the lamps. But anyway, we'll get there. When you want it to go fast, it doesn't go fast. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, the lesson tonight is called Finding the Truth. And it's difficult for many people because they look in the wrong place. And so we're going to take a look at this tonight. See, there's many false doctrines concerning what the Bible does not say that affects millions of souls. And based on the misinterpretation of sometimes just a few passages. You know, people have taken that call on the name of the Lord and say, that's all you need to do. And they go with that. They like John 3:16 for some reason because it doesn't involve anything on man's part. All you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. And of course, they misunderstand these passages of Scripture and they're taught to believe that. And so they don't come to an understanding of the truth. See, when we approach the study of God's Word, we should do so with an attitude to examine the Scriptures, drawing conclusions based upon what the Scriptures teach, not upon what we already believe. Here's a problem with a lot of people. They believe something, so they look at the Scriptures with that in mind, and somehow they find some sort of justification, and, okay, well, that's what I believe, so that's right. Instead of looking at the Bible to find out what the Scriptures actually teach. And then, of course, others, and we can never discover God's truths if we are studying with the attitude of trying to prove what we already believe. And a lot of people do that. They believe once saved, always saved. Man, they keep looking for it. They find different passages which they think support it, and they'll stick with those. Even though they take those out of context, even though they don't look to see what the rest of the Scripture says. You know, like when the Philippian jailer came in and said, what must I do? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus. And they okay, that's good. Just believe on the Lord. That's all you have to do. And they failed to read further where it says, and immediately he and his household were baptized after being taught the truth. So, that's what people do. We know that's the case. So, while your beliefs may be correct, do not read the Scriptures trying to prove you are correct. And that's one way of saying it. I mean, another way of saying it is probably, I mean, study to show yourself approved. And you've got to learn this stuff. And not just because someone told you that. See, when we're younger, we usually have a tendency, well, the old people, the older ones said, this is the way it is, so I believe that, and so we go with that, but it's not our faith, it's the faith of the parents, it's faith of others that we followed, and so we're nothing more than a parrot. And yes, sometimes we have to realize, yes, that was my problem. I was a parrot. I heard faithful gospel preachers speaking these things, and so I repeated them. And I was nothing more than a parrot. So I had to really get down and study myself to make sure what I was teaching was according to God's word. So that's what it takes. It takes a better understanding. So rather than read the Scriptures and discover God's truths, what happens? Then we determine if what we learn from this text is the same as your beliefs. Okay, some people do that. Well, is this what I believe? And the text says so, so I'm going to continue believing it. But this attitude will either strengthen your belief or cause you to change a previously held belief. It could be that you were mistaken and you really did not fully understand it. And so now someone has to teach you once again, the elementary principles. I mean, that's what the Hebrew writer said. By this time, you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to be teaching you the basic principles once again. So we're either seeking truth or we're not. And if we're trying to be a Christian, we need to be always seeking the truth. Now, finding the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And to begin to find the truth, we must go to the right source. And that's common sense. It should make sense to us. Go to the right source. And Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "The entirety of your word is truth." And then, of course, from its precepts, I get understanding. And so that's right. The word of God, all of it is truth. You know, Jesus prayed sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So that's where we need to find truth, is in his word. And if any part of God's word is false or wrong, we must demand that all of it is false and wrong. Someone comes up and says one part of the Bible has a mistake in it, then how can we trust any part of it? I mean, that's just logical. How can we trust any part of the Bible if there are any mistakes in it? Well, like we said before, there's mistakes in the Bible. Eve made a mistake. David made a mistake. Other people made mistakes. I mean, they're in the Bible. We can read about them. But is there anything in the Bible that is wrong? No, it's not. Now, the Bible says there is no God. But who says that? The fool says that. So we need to, like I say, follow the rules of interpretation, see who is speaking, see who they're speaking to, what they're saying, and the context of which it is said. Some people yank things out of context and come with wrong conclusions about that. And so, if any part of God's word is not true, then logic says we have to dismiss the whole thing and not follow any of it. But the Bible is not wrong. So we cannot pick and choose which parts we will abide by and which parts we will ignore. And that's another thing people do. Well, they like this story, they like that story, but they're going to stay away from what God commands them to do. And so they're just going to pick and choose which parts they want. You know, it's kind of like the smorgasbord. You pick and choose. This looks good, that looks good. I'll try this, I'll try that. And there's some things, well, I don't want to mess with that. See, man does this quite frequently with his doctrines and his precepts. You know, we read this morning about Jesus said they teach for doctrine the precepts of men. And so man does this quite frequently. Man gets in his mind, well, this is the way I want to present it, and this is how I'm going to do it. And sometimes they have to abuse the scriptures, and that's really what they're doing is not either abusing it or they're just ignoring it outright. And that's what they do. So it means that we accept it as it is offered. Just like the Thessalonians. You know, 1 Thessalonians 1:13. "And for this reason, we also consistently thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." Yeah, Paul was commending the Thessalonians because they received this word, and they actually received, this is the word of God we're being taught. And that's how they received it. That was their attitude of receiving it. You know, some people say, well, my preacher says this, my preacher says that. Don't pay attention to what the preacher says. Study the word for yourself and make sure what he's teaching is correct. Be like the Bereans. You know, they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And yes, we all have Bibles. We can compare what the Old Testament says and what the New Testament says. And when we start teaching doctrine, is it compatible with God's word? Does it agree with God's word? That's what we need to find out. And that's what you need to be paying attention to. The preacher can get up here. The preacher is human, can make mistakes. I'll acknowledge that. I've made mistakes before. And so, yeah, it can be done. So whenever I'm preaching, it's your duty to study what I preached on and make sure that you understand what it's talking about and make sure I have a proper understanding of the text as well. See, finding the truth means we accept it no matter how we feel about what was said. You know, we can go back to the story of Jeremiah in 42, verses 5 and 6. Remember, they come up and said, Jeremiah, you need to tell us which way we want to go. Of course, they already had their plans. They were marshaling up, ready to take off to Egypt. They said, well, Lord, well, you need to ask the Lord what we need to do and where we need to go. Well, then they said to Jeremiah, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with the whole message with which the Lord your God will send you to us. Whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, we will listen to the voice of the Lord our God to whom we are sending you in order that it may go well with us when we listen to the voice of the Lord our God. You remember that lesson? I mean, excellent. You can't say it any better than this. This is the attitude we need to receive God's word. Whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, we will do it. That's what they said. Of course, we read the rest of the story, and even with all the warnings that God gave them, they turned around and called Jeremiah a liar when he told them to stay in the land. They were going to go to Egypt regardless, and so they called him a liar. See, it means we accept it without compromise. I mean, a lot of people want to compromise the truth. In other words, well, I like what it says, but I think I feel it should be this way. And so they make a compromise with the word, and that's what they do. See, we're told in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. I mean, that's how we're going to get God's approval, is doing it diligently, studying. Be diligent. I mean, make every effort is what diligent means. Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. And so we handle the word of truth accurately. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:1-12, Paul was talking about his ministry. And as he's talking about that, he says there's a purpose for this ministry. So let's read it here. In chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, and God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as to not be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blameless we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So, this is what Paul said to the Thessalonians, and that's true. We didn't do anything special. We presented you the Word of God. You accepted it. And so he was commending them for that. And that's good. And the reason we accept it as the Word of God is so that we may walk worthy of the kingdom with which we've been called. And the truth is that which can purify our souls. Peter talked about this, 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. So here, obedience to the truth purifies our souls. And so, we learn what the truth is, we obey the truth. What does that accomplish? It accomplishes us the purification of our souls. See, the truth is the foundation of the church. And 1 Timothy 3:15, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. So it is the pillar and support of truth. It carries the foundation of the truth, and it supports the truth. Everything about it, just like a structure, a building has a foundation, and which is the support, and the pillar which holds it up and in its place. That's what the truth of God's Word does. It is there. And that's what the church is supposed to do, is to be the spokesperson for the truth. All right. Upon finding the truth, we must own it as our most prized possession. And Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. So Christ must become our life. That's what it teaches us. And we find that in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And then Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. How many of us can say the same thing? How many of us can say that we basically live our life for the purpose of glorifying Christ? So we need to find the truth where it is. And we've already said this once. It's in the Word of God. So it is God's Word. That's where the truth is, and that's where it lies, and that's where we need to find it. Truth declares we must follow and obey Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus is truth. He is a Just like the Old Testament said, God was a God of truth, so Jesus also came with grace and truth. So we must find the truth where God put it. And like I said, a lot of people look for it in the wrong place. We find it in his word, given to us through Christ. The whole Bible is from Christ. If we look at it and understand it properly, it is all the Word of God. It is all what Christ spoke through the Holy Spirit. And so we must accept it without compromise. We cannot take this or that. We cannot pick and choose which parts we want. We must accept it without compromise. We must lay hold of it and live by it. Here's another thing a lot of people do. Well, they may know what the truth is, but they don't live the truth. We kind of talked about that this morning. Yeah, they don't live like they're supposed to. And so, when we find the truth, we have to keep it. We have to hold on to it. We have to live it. We have to apply it to our lives. And we should be able to teach others what the truth actually is. Because, like I said at the beginning, there's a lot of misunderstanding by the world. They really don't know where the truth is. They don't really know there is such a thing as truth. They've just been told to believe this or believe that and not ask questions. I mean, a lot of them are like that. I remember years ago, I was in a class and one of the older brethren was talking about the fact that he was talking to this lady about baptism. And he was pretty much convincing her that one needed to be baptized to be saved. And she says, well, I'm going to go talk to my elders about this. He says, well, I'll tell you what they're going to say. And she came back a few weeks later and said, you know what, that's exactly what they said. And their advice was, don't talk to that person anymore. Don't talk to them, because they'll mislead you and they'll misguide you. I don't know what the outcome of that was, but still, I mean, that's the way it is. I'm going to ask my preacher about that. Chances are he's going to tell you, don't ever talk to me again. That's the chances of what's going to happen. So we must hold the truth and keep the truth and live the truth and be an example of the truth. So that's what we need to do as Christians. So that's our lesson tonight. I mean, very simple lesson, but it's one that we can remember and one that we can share with others. So I encourage you to do that. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.